Good afternoon, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'm glad to be able to preach here this afternoon. Let me just say as an aside, I've got a chance to work with Chris West closely on men's ministry stuff, and he is nothing but a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to work with. So whether you know him or not, look forward to his work in this community. I hope you all had a good week, a week off of celebrations, of parties, of family and friends and such. Dave prayed that we wouldn't forget, you know, the Christmas spirit, and I'm not going to let you forget the Christmas spirit because I'm going to preach one more time on the Christmas story. This time we're going to look at it from the perspective of the shepherds and the angel in the Gospel of Luke. I think it has something to say to us, not because it tells us about the new year or anything like that, but because I think that this story tells us about the beginning of the new world, a world which is radically and totally transformed by what happens at Bethlehem. But it is fitting that this is New Year's Day, because besides bowl games and, you know, the day off, what happens around New Year's? It's New Year's resolutions, right? It's trying to lose weight. It's trying to quit smoking, trying to get out of debt, whatever it is this year. It's a sort of taking stock of life. This morning, the Asbury Park Press headline was about the best stories of 2010. It was sort of looking back at the year and seeing where we've come. And that's what happens now. We take stock of life. What happened this past year? What did I make of myself? Who have I become? What am I now? And it's also at this time that we look forward. Who do I want to be this year? What course am I currently on? What do I want to accomplish this year? And I think that in a strange way, these questions are the kinds of questions that Luke is helping people answer when he writes his book. He didn't just write it like a biography or in abstract. He wrote it to a group of Christians, a church, probably not very unlike ours. This church was struggling, not, of course, with New Year's resolutions, but it was struggling with how to be God's people in the world. If you heard Christian talk about our struggles, we share in the same struggle as a church, but also I imagine that you share in that struggle. How are you God's person, son or daughter, in the world? And the world then was no different than today. It was largely non-Christian. They were surrounded by people who, for the most part, didn't share any of the beliefs that they did, didn't care about what they believed, and would have probably not even noticed if they went away. It was a world where it would have been easy, just like this one, for a church or for an individual Christian within a community to lose their way, to forget what they believe in their foundation. It would have been easy for them to struggle with their identity as Christians in this environment. And we all struggle with this. All churches do. All people do. I mean, look at us. We're a church that's called Outreach Red Bank. We found ourselves not meeting in Red Bank. Does that change who we are as God's people? I don't know. Who are we? Why has God put this church on the map? Where will he have us meet this year? Where will he have us meet next week? And I think most importantly, in this strange time of transition, what is God up to through this community? What is God's New Year's resolution for us? And individually, what is it for you? What has God given you to be and to do this year? And so what Luke writes is good for us to hear, because he wrote it to people just like us. He wrote it, one, is to assure them in their understanding and experience of God's redemptive purposes and his faithfulness. And then two, he wrote his book to give them something that they could read and again be called back to continued faithfulness to the work that God has given them. And so with this, with these two purposes in mind, we'll take a look at the shepherd's story and see what God has for us this afternoon. Now, before we turn to chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke, let me say a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for giving us Scripture. We thank you that through it you testify to yourself. We thank you that through these words that Luke wrote all of those years ago, you are here to show us again who you are, to show us again who we are, and to call us again to new things and to new faithfulness. We pray, Lord, that you would speak this afternoon and that we would hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Matt, can I thank you? So this is Luke chapter 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks, over their flock by night. Now, just to pause here, we're not in a shepherd world, but this is a totally normal scene. There's nothing extraordinary going on here. These are a bunch of people who are just doing their jobs. It's nighttime, it's peaceful, nothing is happening. There's really nothing about this that's extraordinary at all. But then Luke says, almost as if it's out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. You will find this child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." These are the sentences that I want to focus in on this afternoon. Let me unpack them a little bit. The angel announces good news. Good news is a phrase that we often have translated gospel. It's a very religious, a very churchy sounding word. But back in Luke's day, it had a very plain meaning. It was the message of something that had happened, which had immediate meaning for those who hear it. And what I mean by that, it's not like saying the announcement, "Frank went to the store to buy milk." This announcement, this, unless you're Frank or somehow impacted by the milk that he may be delivering, this announcement doesn't do anything to anyone. It's just news. But this good news that the angel announces, it's more like we've all had this experience. You're hungry, and you go to a restaurant. It's crowded, and you have to wait for a table. And you're waiting and waiting, and your kid is getting hungry. He wants to play. You want to eat. Your nerves are frayed because you just want to put food in your mouth. And you're waiting and waiting, and they said it'll be 10 minutes, but it's really like 50 minutes. This good news is like when that hostess, an angel of the Lord, comes to you and says, "Your table is ready." This is good news. You are immediately impelled to get up and go to your table and eat. You have no option at this point. That is what this announcement is like. It is good news of great joy. And notice, it's good news of great joy to you. To you is born. So what did this angel announce? Or, more accurately, who did the angel announce? First, the announcement is in reference to the city of David. This is, of course, a reference to Bethlehem, which was where the great king David of Israel came from, the greatest king of all of Israel, a man after God's own heart. It was he who led his people to great success and prosperity and blessing and who freed them. And the good news that this angel announces is that the one that they speak of, born in Bethlehem, is a king that will be even greater than David. Unlike the kings and emperors who ruled by power or by violence, this child will rule with peace and mercy. He will save his people from the enemies and the hands of all who hate them. To you, the shepherds, but to you in Outreach Red Bank Community Church this morning, this king has been born. This afternoon, sorry. But David wasn't only a king, he was also a shepherd. The good news is that this king will also be the good shepherd of his people. He will guard them. He will keep them safe from the wolves and the lions. He will know them and call them by name, and the people, you and I, will know him in his voice. He will lead them to lie down in green pastures, to drink at still waters. He will restore their souls with his goodness and mercy for all of the days of their lives. This baby is the good news of this shepherd king. And you, this afternoon, have this good shepherd. This baby Jesus is also born a savior. Did you know that the big bad Roman emperors who would reign with terror and fear and domination, they were also called saviors. Now, their version of being a savior was something like, get in line, pay your taxes, do as I say, and you'll be saved. Or it's, oppose me, get enslaved, or be killed. It sounds silly, but a savior is one who saves. Rather than taking lives, this savior will give his own life for those who don't deserve it. Rather than threatening his subjects, he will look on those who are lost, who are wicked, or who are worse, and he will deliver them from evil and redeem them from the darkness that surrounds them. Rather than putting his people into slavery, he will bring release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. Is this not the best news to anyone who walks in darkness or in captivity? You have this Savior. He is the Messiah, which simply means Christ or anointed one. He is the one that is chosen by God for something absolutely unique, to bear the sin of the world, to take upon himself the rejection that all men and women have rightfully brought upon themselves. He is anointed to be the one to carry the weight of our own evil, to bear the brunt of the wrath of God, the consequence of sin, to die our deaths for us. He is the one whom God the Father has elected to take from us and bear our own damnation. This is the Messiah that's been born to us. And in all of these, he is our Lord, our head, our master, who grants salvation that he has won by the forgiveness of sins. He leads us, he cares for us, and calls us to a new and eternal way of living life. In the rest of the Gospel of Luke, he is portrayed like this. He is the Good Samaritan that saved us when we had been left for dead. He is the God who has turned the world upside down to find you, just like that woman who turned her house over to find that lost coin. He is the shepherd who has risked and given his life to find his lost sheep. He is the Father and the Lord of the land who welcomes home and forgives and restores his lost son. And then there's one more thing that the angel announces. And it's that the shepherds will find him in Bethlehem, wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Now, a manger, do you know what a manger is? A lot of times people typically think that the manger is the big thing that like the horses and the hay and whatnot are, you know, is in. But that's actually not what it is. The manger is the little wooden triangle thing where the food is placed in for the animals so that when they're hungry, they have to just bend down and eat hay out of this manger. This is where Jesus laid. And with the coming of this Savior lying in a manger, the angel is telling us that God's people are finally being given and shown their source of sustenance. In this child, God has given himself for all of the people to feed off of, to find salvation in, to be restored by, so that we might live. In Hebrew, Beth means house, and Lehem means bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. This child refers to himself as the bread of life. And so this is the one that was born to the shepherds and to all people that day. This shepherd, this king, this Messiah, Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And to you, this one is born. That means that for those who hear this message, to those shepherds, to us in this place today, this child is born. In a world where it is all too easy to forget who we are, to forget our starting point, to forget our foundation, this is who we are. We, you, are people to whom and for whom in the city of David this child has been born. And this is the news that with one jam-packed sentence, the angel delivers to those shepherds that night, who, again, were just sitting there in a totally ordinary place, in an ordinary time, in an ordinary situation, doing their ordinary job. Now, I think this point is worth pausing on and reflecting on for a moment. It's worth giving thought to how this good news came to the shepherds. It just did. To you is born this day. To us, the shepherds say. They're just a bunch of guys who are sitting around doing their jobs. We don't know anything about them. What kind of people they were. If they were good religious people. We don't know if their parents were the right kind of people. If they went to church once a week. They were probably just hanging out. Half of them asleep. The other half keeping watch. Maybe talking about what they were going to do that weekend. And then nowhere, out of nowhere, the presence of God speaks to them about this newborn king. And this tells us something very obvious about the way that God does great things for us and the way that he comes to us, doesn't it? God does not need our permission. God does not wait for us to be good enough, to believe the right way, to have our acts together, or to be the right kind of person. In a sense, God doesn't even ask us. God simply decides to be born in human flesh for our salvation. And then he comes to us with this great news of what he's done. He comes to us unexpectedly, takes a hold of us, and leaves our lives changed forever. He comes to us and says, "Your table is ready. Eat." And if you believe in Jesus, this has happened for you. It definitely looked different than it did for the shepherds. I don't think any of us can report the angel of the Lord speaking to us. But even so, I want you to stop and think for a moment. How did this good news come to you? Maybe it was a sudden knock you off your feet type experience like these shepherds had. For me, it was something like that. I was in high school. A very ordinary kid. I started going to a youth group where they talked about Jesus a lot because my sister made me. And I didn't really care about it, to be honest. There were girls there, and that was a plus. But then over a period of time, and not because of anything I did, over a period of time, this news spoke to me. It hit me in a way that I didn't imagine it hitting someone. I found myself believing in Jesus such that one day, I would have described myself as someone who didn't believe in any of this. And the next day, I described myself as someone who did. Maybe you grew up in church all your life, and it didn't happen over, you know, a few month period like that. Maybe this happened over the course of your entire life. Maybe you have a story that would absolutely knock our socks off, and we would love to hear that sometime. But however it happened, you can look back on a time where you wouldn't call yourself someone who believed in Jesus, but then maybe now you do. And I want you to think about that and remember it, because the shepherds remind us that just like them, we, whether we've been Christians for a week or for 70 years, we have done nothing to deserve this. We have come from nowhere to. It is a gift through and through. Every Christian, all of us, was at some point nothing other than a potential Christian. We were all shepherds sitting, waiting in the cold darkness of night. We were all like the man left for dead. We were all like the son lost in the far country. And I want to say this too. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you don't believe in Jesus. This stuff is all crazy to you. You should know, and you have to know, that this is good news for you too. Believe it or not, you're in a good spot. Not because you're in church, but because you were in the same spot that those shepherds were in that night, waiting. We all were in that spot. And if God could come and speak to those shepherds like that, then it stands to reason that God could come and speak to us like that too. And could come and speak to you like that. If every non-Christian was nothing other than a potential Christian, then that means that every non-Christian that you know is a potential Christian too. And that's precisely what the angels announce, that this is good news of great joy for all the people. It is good news for everyone. This Jesus is good news for those who know it and for those who don't. As surely as this is good news for us, it is good news for that person in your life. That person, you know, the person who you can't imagine coming to faith or following Christ. On the positive side, that person who you've prayed for years and years. On the other side of the spectrum, that person who you could never see step foot in church and don't want to see step foot in church because you don't like them. The birth of this child is good news for both, for your idiot neighbor, for the kid in your class who's a pain in the butt, for the child you haven't spoken to in years, for the family member you've prayed for years, for the guy who stole your parking spot. This news is good news for the people who are on both sides of the gun, on both sides of the camera, of the fence, of the political spectrum, both sides of the poverty line, of the protest line, and of the world. And the Gospel of Luke, like no other gospel, goes to great pains to talk about this. Who is it that Jesus befriends in the gospel? Is it the good guys? Hardly. It's the shepherds, just sitting. It's the scoundrel tax collectors who sold out their people for a buck. It's the ones with the unclean spirits, the ones that had diseases that no one in the world would touch. It's the slave of a foreign soldier. It's the poor Jewish widow. It's women. It's demons. It's the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed, the unfavorable, the impossible. And if this news is good news to you, and it is, it means that it's good news for your neighbor, for your friend, and for your enemy as well. Now, the last thing that we have to ask is, what do we do with this knowledge of Christ, our Savior? What do we do with this knowledge that we have been hit with, but that most have not, which is for them just as much as for us? Let's look again at what the shepherds do. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. They see and believe what had been made known to them about this child, but that's not all they do. Then they make it known to others. These shepherds become the first evangelists in the Gospel of Luke, spreading this good news about this child. I usually never quote other people in my sermons, but I was reading the sermons of Martin Luther, the famous reformer, and he had to preach a sermon on this passage at Christmas time, and I think his words, I couldn't have wrote them any better or more brilliantly. It's just beautiful. Listen to what Martin Luther says about this passage. That these were shepherds means that no one is to hear the gospel for himself alone, but everyone is to tell it to others who are not acquainted with it. For he who believes for himself has enough and should endeavor to bring others to such faith and knowledge, so that one may be a shepherd to another, to wait upon him and lead him into the pasture of the gospel in this world, during the nighttime of this earthly life. I think that's perfect. I can't think of a better picture than a shepherd of what we each are called to do with this good news. People who, after hearing and believing and experiencing the good news of this Jesus Christ, we can go out and tell others about it, becoming shepherds to one another and to those who are outside of these walls. This news truly is so good, it can't just be for us. So who is that person in your life? Maybe you're afraid to go to them. Maybe you just think it's hopeless. If this scripture says anything, it's that there is hope for that person as well. So go and be a shepherd to them. Find a way. Be creative. God has given us minds and imaginations. We are free to use them. Maybe you use your words, but maybe you just use your hands and your feet and your time and your energy to find a way to share this good news that has been told to you, just like these shepherds did. And finally, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So like these shepherds, let us continue this afternoon, glorifying God in prayer and praising Him with singing for all that we have heard and seen about this child. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that at Bethlehem, this child was born to us, but not just to us, but to the world. We thank you that you have given us a Savior, a shepherd and king, a Lord, a Messiah. We thank you that through him, you have saved us from our enemies, you have freed us, you have broken the bonds of oppression. Lord, we pray that we would get up and go to the table. We would pray that you would continue to take us and send us from this place. Make us into your shepherds in this world who go and tell others about this good news. Lord, we pray also this afternoon that you would put in our hearts the seeds of hope. Hope for those who we can't imagine ever following you. Hope for those who we just see as lost. And we pray that you would place in our hearts hope for ourselves when we don't find hope. Lord, we pray that as this new year has begun, that you would place on this community, the individuals in it, a desire, a passion, and a belief about you that wakes us up and that sends us to go and spread this good news. We pray now that our praise and our prayer would be glorifying to you. In Christ's name, amen.